John 13, as we have been looking at how Jesus has revealed himself to his people, he's used various metaphors to describe his attributes or his works towards men, to prove that he is God, to show that he is the Savior of the world. And in John chapter 13, in again, we've kind of just been going along as Jesus has revealed these things we saw in John 6 and John 8 and John 10, and now in John 13 here. And by the way, the book of John was written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through his name. John 20, 31 says that. That's the whole purpose of the book of John, and I love the book of John, and whenever you're working with somebody that is struggling with salvation or wanting to know more, or has just recently been saved, turn to the book of John. It's always a great place to start. Yes. But one thing that we haven't covered yet, but yet we have already seen and we know, is the love of God. Amen. Amen. And not that we can go into any great discourse on the love of God. It would take volumes and volumes of books to just to describe the love of God, but we have seen it already just in simple verses where God has shown his love. In John 13, Jesus says this in verse 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." So, 1 John 4:16 says that God is love. Amen. 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. 2 Corinthians 13:11 calls him the God of love. And so as we try to just look a little bit at this idea of love, we see Jesus referring to the commandments here, which is interesting because he takes us again back to the Old Testament to reveal something about himself. Because the first and great commandment is what? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus even says that in Matthew 22, verse 38. But then as he just did here in John 13, he says also there, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians 5:14, and I'm just throwing out some verses by way of introduction, says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The book of James chapter 2 calls it the royal law of love. You see, love begins and ends with God. God is love. The love of God. What's interesting here in John 13 is Jesus already says, "As I have loved you." But how has he shown his love for his disciples up to that point? We know that when we start looking in the New Testament, the book of Acts, and then all of the epistles of Paul, the love of God is always connected with the death of Christ. We saw that in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave." Whenever you read about the love of God, it's about him giving his life. Yes. Romans 5:8. "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." 1 John 3:16. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, in that he laid down his life for us." So we see here that Christ and his love is connected with the gift of God, and we see Christ talking about this commandment that he's given, that we should love one another as he has loved us, that we are to love one another, and all men will know that we're his disciples by his love. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy 10. This isn't something new. By the way, the first time we read about God and his love is in the book of Leviticus. But yet we can already come to know and understand the love of God before we get to the book of Leviticus. But turn to Deuteronomy, please. Chapter 10. something that I want to bring out, which is very interesting, is this whole idea of God's commandments and how his commandments are connected to his love. And our love for him is connected to his commandments. All throughout the scriptures, we see it very heavily in the Old Testament. But then Jesus, with this one word, saying, here, I'm giving you a new commandment, which is not necessarily a new commandment, because here it is, it's all throughout the Old Testament scriptures about loving our neighbor and love for God. Here in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says this: "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him?" What I find interesting and very odd is that all throughout the scriptures, we are commanded to love God. Why are we commanded to love him? Wouldn't we just want to love him for what he's done for us? Nobody has to command me to love my wife. I love my wife. Why is it then with God? Is it because we can't see him? We can't audibly hear him? We can't physically touch him? That we have to be reminded that the way that we interact with God is through faith. Faith in his word. And faith is what? Faith is acting in accordance with what God's word says. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the Bible says. But here, even Israel is reminded, listen, God requires this of you, to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. We're commanded to love him. We're commanded to serve him. We're commanded to keep his commandments. And in turn, by keeping his commandments, we're showing our love for him. Our faith works by love, the Bible says. It reaches the heart and controls the hand. 1 John 5:3 says, what is the love of God? That we keep his commandments. Is that not interesting? You know what I found interesting too is Jesus said that he kept his Father's commandment and that he laid down his life for us over in John chapter 10. 1 John 2:5 says, by keeping his word, the love of God is perfected in our lives, meaning it's matured in our lives. So let's not begin to think that we love God if we don't keep his commandments. There's just no way around it. Turn with me now to the New Testament, back to John. Let's go to John. Let's go to John 15. John 15. Look here in verse 10, or verse 9, Jesus speaking. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. You see, when we continue in his love, and his love is found through his word in keeping of his commandments, it keeps us from being disobedient. Verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now look what he says here in verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So there should be joy in our life in keeping the Father's commandments and knowing that we're abiding in his love. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Is this not interesting? What we're seeing now, not only is the love of God seen in his Christ and in the sacrifice that he made at Calvary, but in his commandments, the love of God is seen. And not only is it seen, but it's perfected, it's matured through his commandments. You see, love is only attainable through knowing God and obeying God. time in and of itself does not result in spiritual growth or maturity. But to grow in my Christian life, I have to be active in my faith. And if I'm active in my faith, what am I doing? I am keeping God's commandments. And in keeping his commandments, I am growing in love then for the Father. Amen. And you want to know what's really nice that Jesus says? He said, listen, if you keep my commandments, we'll go to that verse. It's over there in 1 John, I believe, chapter 2. But he says, I'm going to love you. And I'm going to manifest myself to you. Meaning I'm going to make myself more known to you as you keep and grow in my commandments. Right. And so you say, well, I want to have a greater relationship with God. I want to know God better. We sing the song, More About Jesus, What I Know. Well, how is it known? Through keeping his commandments. Amen. Found in his word. Through an active faith, which is what? God says, do this, and I do it. And that's faith. God told Moses, build an ark. Noah, build an ark. Noah built an ark. And it was counted unto him as faith. He kept God's word. His faith was then something that was now proven and tried. Abraham, I want you to go out into this far country. Abraham, I want you to do this. Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son. As he kept God's word, his faith grew and it matured, and that love relationship with the Father grew. You see, there must be diligence in our Christian life to perfect this love. It's trust God and obey God. That's how we grow. But many, they don't want to trust God. Many, they know what the commandment says, but they won't obey the commandment. Right. But it's only for their own good. So the question that we ask is, how are we doing in the love department with God? Do men know that we love them? Do men see that we love them? Do men hear that we love them? Does God know that we love him? Because is not that what Jesus said over there in John 13? He said about the commandment that we just read. By the way, he said, if you know these things, happy are ye. If ye do them. And we just looked at that other verse that talked about how our joy may be full. So if we're not happy and if we're not joyful in our Christian life, it's probably because we're not keeping his commandments. And if we're not keeping his commandments, we're not showing our love for God nor our love for others. So then are we a disciple of Christ? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, he said. Did he not? There in verse 33 and 34, or 34 and 35, I mean. Verse 35, by this men shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. You see, love is a universal language that can break down every barrier. I don't have to look like you. I don't have to speak like you. I don't have to act like you. But I can show you love. And you can understand that it's that I'm showing love because love is something that is perceived.
Yes.
Quick example. My wife, we have this really interesting relationship, amen. We've been married now for some time. What is it, 16 years, is it? Well, when we first started seeing each other, we courted. We didn't date as in how the world dates. We didn't spend time alone together. We had a chaperone, her mother oftentimes, Felicia. I was okay with this. She was okay with this. We wanted our relationship to be something special. We wanted it to be something different. We wanted it to be founded upon biblical principles. And we wanted it to be an example for others. I never held my wife's hand until the day I held it when we were at the marriage altar. I never kissed my wife until the preacher said, "You may now kiss the bride." A couple months before that, I never told my wife that I loved her until I asked her to marry me. Why? Because love is something that is perceived. I wanted her to know that I loved her before I told her that I loved her. You see, Jesus doesn't have to tell us that he loves us. We know that he loves us. Why? Because of his actions. You see, love is something that is so very special. And God loves us with an everlasting love, and he doesn't have to tell me that he loves me. And my obedience to him is not dependent upon whether he tells me he loves me, because I know he loves me. Love is something that is perceived. I perceived that he loves me, and therefore we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Love is perceived in the believer's actions. Love is a work of faith, the Bible says. And so let's look here in the book of 1 John, please. 1 John chapter 4. Love defined here. This love that we're reading about and learning about is the highest kind of love. It's a love of choice. It's not based on appearance. It's not based on emotions. It's not based on sentiment or impulse, which oftentimes gets people in trouble when they're young, because that's what they base love upon. They think, but it's wrong. It's misplaced. It's most likely lust. It's not love. But God's love is divine love. 1 John 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. It's just reasonable, right? It's just right. You see, this love is unrestricted. It's not limited and it's not confined, the love of God. And this is the same kind of love that he wants us to have towards one another. It's not conditional. It's absolute. This love is the highest form of love. It denies self for the benefit of the object loved, which is us. And when we deny ourselves to do something on behalf of somebody else, we are showing the same love, the love of God. This love, it wants to serve, it wants to sacrifice. It's a love that keeps giving of itself. This is the love that God has for us. Amen. Listen what Paul said here. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He connected his love with spending and being spent on behalf of somebody else, even though they weren't giving it back in return. That's the love of God. Amen? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, look at this spectrum of love that is laid out for us that we can know how to love like God loves. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Let's remember that, because that's all that most quote-unquote love is today. It's just a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It has no substance to it. When you hit something and it makes a real loud noise, it's because there's nothing in it.
Yes.
And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Here we go. Charity suffereth long. That means it's patient towards all men in all situations. It suffers with the right disposition. It's patient. It's calm. It suffereth long. God suffered long. God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Right. Because of that end object there, that's why we suffer long with others. What else? It's kind. Kindness is love in action. It makes others happy. But you know what? You make yourself happy too when you make others happy, don't you? Like we just went through this Christmas time and we give gifts and it feels good because Jesus himself said it's better to give than to receive. Being kind is when we're good to others. We're tender, we're compassionate, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. He went about doing good, the Bible said. He was kind to the unthankful. You see, we're getting into this idea of love that is giving of itself without any expectation of return. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. It's not proud. It doesn't boast. It's not covetousness. Or I should say covetous. It wishes no ill will to somebody else. It's not grieved over others' positions of recognition or authority. It's humble, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly. It's considerate of others. It's courteous. It's gentle. It's civil. It's polite. It seeketh not her own. It denies itself to please others. It prefers others. It's concerned about the welfare of others before the welfare of itself. And that's what this is God's love. This is the greatest love. Right. And we fail already, do we not?
Yes.
But thanks be to God, we can confess and repent and make it right when it's wrong. But this is something to aim for, is it not?
Yes.
It's not easily provoked. It has a good temper. It's not soon angry. It does not get its feathers ruffled, as we say. It thinketh no evil. Love does not suppose evil. Love does not consider motives of why somebody is doing what they're doing. It does not impute bad motives. Look at verse 6. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but in the truth. Amen. It does not like when others fall. It rejoices when others do well. It's not a prideful thing. It's not comparing itself with another. Verse 6, it rejoices in the truth. Verse 7, it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things to the end. That's why verse 8 could say, charity never faileth.
Amen.
When you have that love, it will never fail you.
Right.
It may waver in our lives, not in God's. It may grow cold in our lives at times. But in principle, it never fails. Why? Because God never fails.
Amen.
And if I have been born of God, I can love like God can love. It can be an aim for me in my life. And so here we see love kind of defined, but love is not only defined in the scriptures for us and in God and his actions. But again, remember, Jesus said in John 13, verse 35, that it's, or verse 34, that it should be to all men. This love has been shed abroad in our hearts, and now God enables us to live it out in our life, and we are commanded to continue in his love. Yes. Because his love is now the standard, and we are to love one another with that same standard.
Yes.
The same way that he loves us. Look at the book of Colossians, please. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 12 through 14. The Bible tells us to put off some things, but it tells us to also put on some things. Verse 12 and 13, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. That's what we just read about. All those verses about charity, about this love, which is the bond of perfectness. Amen. Ephesians 5:2 says, we are to walk in love. Everything about our life, we're to walk in it. We're to talk in it. Amen. We are to live. We are Christians, and so therefore, as a disciple of Christ, as a light that's shining, that's reflecting his love, it needs to be that way. Amen. So love demanded is towards all men, towards our neighbors, towards all men, but it's also towards our enemies. Jesus said to love your enemies. That's a deliberate choice when you choose to love the way he loved towards somebody that is not going to return that love, and they may even rebuke that love. We're to love all strangers. We're to love our spouses, amen? Husbands, love your wives as how? As Christ loved the church. And what did he do? And gave himself for it. It's the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. And when you have love, you can have joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control, temperance, all that stuff. We are to love without distinction. We are to love without calculation. We are to love without procrastination. Amen. We are to just love like Christ loved.
Amen.
Amen. And we have such a great example in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the Good Samaritan?
Yes.
Remember the Good Shepherd? These are examples of God's love, how he showed this perfect expression of love when he would love the unlovable. When he would lay down his life for the sheep. John 15 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Right.
That he lays down his life for another.
Yes.
The Good Samaritan, the teaching there is that we are to love our neighbor as ourself.
Right.
And so when we see this great love that God has for us, and this great love that he has demonstrated for us, and that he's connected it with the Old Testament with his commandments and how we are to show it to others, I think we just need to get into the Word of God, amen, and follow and continue in his love. How do we do that? By keeping his commandments, the Bible says. So ask yourself, do you have this love this morning? Do you have the joy? Do you have the peace that passes understanding? Jesus in John chapter 10 said that he's come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We can have that abundant life through loving God and loving others.
Yes.
Do you love others? Or just only those that are good to you? Do you love God? Then why are we breaking His commandments? What's the greatest expression that we can show that we love God? Jesus made it clear. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen? We got a lot of work to do here, don't we? I think it's time that we confess and repent and then continue in His love. Because He's left us many examples. Amen? Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for this aspect of His great love for us and how we can pattern our lives after it. And Father, I just pray that You'd forgive us where we fall short. Lord, the very definition that we've read about there in 1 Corinthians 13 and how love manifests itself, I pray, Father, that You would forgive us for our great failure in this area. Pray that You'd forgive us where we have forsaken Your commandments. Lord, help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Lord, that You would perfect Your great love in us, and then, Father, You would manifest Yourself towards us. Reveal more of Your love for us and help us to reveal that to mankind. And this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you.